2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station. It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome in, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, kicking off your noon hour. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hope you're all well. How are you?
T-minus 2 days until departure for the Pac-12 championship game, and I am very excited to go down there and cover it for everybody.
Oh, boy.
Lloyd, you got the email?
I got the email.
Did you see how many rooms are reserved?
Yes, I saw.
Uno.
Oh, that's not true.
One for me and Lloyd.
No, that's not true.
Oh, it's very true.
No.
Two queens.
No, Nate's got a very real nobody shares on the room.
Right.
On the
right.
Road policy.
Until I told Nate.
No, you didn't.
Lloyd and
no,
I need
you,
to bond.
No, you
we
did
need
not.
Time.
I told you, we're not bonding until you do what you need to do. And you know what you need to do.
No, I'm not doing nothing. And I don't want to talk
then
about this.
I'm not
this.
Bonding. We're not bonding.
No,
there's no bonding.
We'll get things fixed.
No.
What needs to happen here?
Oh, there's
I'll tell you what needs to happen. He needs to go and follow me. That's what needs to happen.
I'm not doing it until you blocked me.
Get
you
away.
Blocked me.
Jeez. Nope, we're not doing this. Because you know why?
I'm not getting in the middle of this.
It's such an amazing day. It's an amazing sports day. Jam-packed full of great sports. Jazz taking on the Clippers. Utes getting ready for the USC Trojans. BYU trying to figure out what their defensive coordinator is going to look like and waiting on their Big 12 schedule and trying to find a bowl game that will take them and pair them with somebody that might be interesting. Utah State. I've been hearing some rumors. Have you heard some rumors?
About bowl games?
Okay, so I haven't heard any rumors. I just looked at a couple of projections. I've seen two with the Idaho Potato Bowl.
I don't think it's going to be Idaho Potato
Bowl. I would classify that as a rumor, though. That's a rumor.
I don't think. That's just me speculating. I don't think it'll be potato.
That's some serious scuttlebutt.
We know that it is some good scuttlebutt. That's some.
I would say if I were a Utah State fan, I would probably take a hard look at the DFW area.
Oh.
Whether it be Frisco or First Responder.
I want them in that Idaho Potato Bowl.
If I'm a
so
BYU
bad.
Fan, I probably start looking at airfare to Albuquerque. Or.
And ready yourself for some great food.
And some great teppanyaki. I got a place. It's really good.
What is the. Is it called Old Town? What is it? The district that has the. They're chock full of some of the best food you've ever had.
Yeah, I think it's called Old Town.
Old Town?
Yeah.
So good.
Never been there.
We know. We're aware. All the trips you've been
hey,
there.
So what do we got to do? Like,
so you essentially, need to, since you we started doing the show, were we on year
eight?
Eight. So that's four trips.
This is our ninth season.
Well, how long have you been doing
this? Okay, in 17, I've made more than four. I've made
Probably. Oh, because you got basketball.
Because basketball.
You got several.
Yeah, I've probably made close to 8 or 9 trips.
And you still haven't even just scratched the surface. Actually, you didn't even touch the surface of great food.
No, I have not had a Mexican restaurant there.
Oh, man, that is such a shame. That is so disgusting.
You realize that I have very, very little time.
Oh, it's a work trip. I'm just there to work.
Well, okay, that's a lot of it, too. But, like,
sure.
So good food. All right, so for basketball, I get in way late, so I don't have time. When I get in there, it's probably about 10 or 11 o'clock. And then, because I take the last flight out, because of you guys, because I try to do the show.
Oh, don't you be putting this on us.
No, I'm putting it on both of you, because I'm dedicated to the show. And so I will take the last flight out so I can do the show. Then I get in super early. I'm not going to do a breakfast joint, you know. And then so I do the show the next day, and then I have the game that night, so I can't go anywhere that night. And then I fly out at 6 a.m. the next morning.
Hell, you could even do like a Blake's Lotto Burger and get a green chili burger. You could do a fast food restaurant and just get a little flavor of it.
Do you have like a noon area, like 12 to 1, 12 to 2?
You know we are on the air about that time, right?
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's
played. You're never there on the weekend?
Saturday? I'm sure he's been there on a weekend.
I don't think so, not that I can recall.
You don't have a basketball game or a football game on a Saturday then?
No.
Well, you know,
No game on a Saturday. Nope.
Okay, but
football's not played on Saturdays, boys.
You know,
we don't
do
a show on Saturdays.
You know, you just don't like randomly just show up to the stadium and call the game.
It's
like,
it's
a busy day.
I know, but it's a good thing that those
Mountain West. What do you guys think I do on these trips?
It's a good thing that Mountain West Conference games aren't at like 8 o'clock at night. So
you know what? Fine. Next time I'm in Albuquerque, I won't do the show that day. I'll make sure to do a culinary food tour.
Just do it on a Saturday.
And I'll take 2 days off, and you won't hear from me. So I can make sure to hit all the restaurant hotspots.
Just take it on a Saturday.
Saturday? I actually don't think we're going down there for basketball this year.
Well, it's going to be a great trip. If BYU does land the New Mexico Bowl, BYU fans, gear up. Head into Mexico, find a hotel close to Old Town so that you don't have to take the Uber, and get yourself some great food. And enjoy the pottery. And find yourself a dream catcher.
The pottery? Is that like code for something?
No. No, there's just great pottery options.
No, there is great pottery down there. Very. You know what? The thing is, New Mexico
is... I'm missing out on is pottery?
New Mexico is...
It's got great pottery.
Home to some of the...
home decor.
Art galleries are like crazy in New Mexico.
Fantastic art.
Art is huge.
I would not anticipate that coming from you two.
What's the... what are the dolls? The Native American dolls?
Where you push a pin in it and it makes the person hurt?
No, those are voodoo dolls.
The voodoo doll.
No, and you go to Narland for that.
Cabbage Patch doll?
Not the cabbage. No,
not Christian.
Not Christian. what was the one your mom made?
No, that was Christopher.
Christopher,
not Christian. I don't know the name of those.
Is it a Katika doll?
It's Goo Goo.
It's not Goo Goo dolls. Is it the Katika doll? Anyways, I'll have to look it up. But they've got those too.
Teddy Ruxpin?
No, it's not that.
My buddy.
It's not that. It's not the doll that eats or wets itself. People know exactly what I'm talking about, but you can find shops with these in them. My cousin collected them for about 8 years.
Well, it's not, those things aren't like a G.I. Joe of any sort.
Yeah, they are. They're a collector's item.
Like a Russian nesting doll?
It's not a Russian nesting doll. Although, I'll bet you could find those well decorated, made out of pottery.
Yes, you could.
Would be my guess. Katina doll.
Katina?
I think it's a Katina doll, man.
Katinka.
Tatanka.
Not Tatanka.
Yeah, Katinka.
Not Tatanka.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
going
to find it.
We're off to a stellar start.
Oh, it's been a decent start. It's been a decent... Kachina doll. Thank you.
Chia?
Man, that was so close. Kachina.
Kachina.
The Kachina doll. No, not the thing that you throw seeds on. These.
Oh yeah, boy, I'm looking for those.
They're really cool. Kachina dolls are cool.
It's like something that's gonna come alive in the middle of the night and murder you in your sleep. Yeah, I want no part of that. Boy, they're pricey too. Look at that. $1,200, $750.
Well, I'm sure they weren't like that price when he was collecting then.
No, I'll
Good
bet.
Good Lord.
I'll bet he's
How many did
got,
he collect?
Oh, probably 30, 35.
Are you serious?
I was with him at the Orange County swap meet when he bought like five of them.
Who's that nerd?
$200 a piece.
Jeez, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you have a friend who does that?
No, it's my cousin.
Oh, your cousin.
Mm-hmm.
No. Probably shouldn't have called him a nerd. Sorry.
Matt.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, isn't that just fabulous?
Those are neat.
They are. They're great. Check them out. Mm. They're supposed to have great magic attached to them.
Like a dream catcher.
There's a white bear kachina, $4,800. But you could find that.
Has he priced those out to see what the worth is on those?
I don't think he has.
You know what you need? You need to have Ryan start carving those things.
No, that's actually a pretty darn good suggestion.
Yeah. And then he can just go on a website and say,
couldn't you make one of those on a lathe?
Ryan's Kachina dolls.
Yeah. And just start selling them. And lie and say they're blessed by a shaman like Lloyd did. Dream catcher.
Or you did with my
That wasn't a shaman.
With my
that
ring.
That was a medicine man.
Or with my keychain.
No, it's not the keychain. It was the warrior's mask. And stop it. I'll have none of this.
The old warrior's mask that gave me COVID. I remember that.
Scotty, Lloyd, and myself, our favorite thing to do is to buy something on our trips, hand it to each other, and say I was blessed.
Holy promise.
I was the first to get the warrior's mask blessed.
I was the first one to get something blessed. You guys got that dream catcher before we got the mask. The dream catcher was a long time ago.
All I know is if Gracie ends up pregnant, I'm throwing a rock right at your head. Throwing an emerald green rock right at your head.
And that's where you're worried is, Gracie. That's where the worry is. I feel like your worry should be somewhere else.
Well, if I get pregnant, you're going to end up raising a kid in 9 months.
And you want no part of that kid.
Nah.
All right. Hands and Scotty, let's get to it. Starting lineup right now here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup, presented by Peach Windows and Doors. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Starting lineup right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all well.
Were you surprised last night when Utah was announced as the number 11 team in the college football playoffs?
Ahead of Washington. Yes, I am. Yes, I was.
Kind of interesting how the Pac-12 worked out in the college football playoff rankings. UCLA at 17 at 9-3. Oregon at 16 at 9-3. Oregon State at 15 at 9-3. Washington at 12 at 10-2. And then Utah at number 11 at 9-3. Obviously, they're putting a lot of weight into that USC win.
Yes.
They're really weighting that USC win for Utah to push them ahead of a two-loss Washington team. And I think probably the ugliest loss across the board would be Washington's loss to Arizona State.
Yes.
It's the most inexplicable, unacceptable loss out of all the losses across the USC, UCLA, Oregon State, Washington, and Utah.
I mean, Utah's got that Florida loss, which has turned out to be not a great loss.
Yeah.
But I do think a lot of people look at that first game of the year in the swamp. Okay. And, you know, you had a chance to win it and your quarterback threw an interception late. So I think that kind of gets wiped away a little bit. If you look at conference losses, certainly Washington's is the worst. And there's no getting around that. The thing that I think is going to be interesting in this, and there were a lot of people that kind of got some hopes up thinking, okay, well, even if, let's say Utah loses a really, really like double overtime, back and forth, evenly matched game with USC, if Utah still stays ahead of Washington, could Utah get the Pac-12 nod or the Rose Bowl nod? Well, the Rose Bowl essentially, somebody dug into their bylaws and essentially says that, yeah, they could take the top-ranked team, but if there's a cluster of teams, and we'll take into consideration last team to play in the Rose Bowl, blah, 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 like a bunch of different things. Essentially, the Rose Bowl said, we'll take whoever we want.
Yeah.
And so I still think Washington probably would get the nod over Utah.
Well, I even believe that the ranking should reflect, even though Washington doesn't play in a championship game, four losses
Yeah, you can't have a four-loss team playing in a Rose Bowl. It
feels like that's a real toe stub.
Yeah.
Toe stub. So you're going to have to drop them. You're going to have to take Washington. I think it's a pretty clear path. USC wins, they're in the college football playoffs. Washington's in the Rose Bowl. Utah wins, they're in the Rose Bowl. And USC, I don't know what would end up happening with USC in a loss.
USC would...
Would Holiday? The Rose Bowl take USC?
No.
Because you got to take the Pac-12 champion?
No, if Utah wins, Utah's going.
They have to take the Pac-12 champion.
And then USC ends up in the, what's the number two slot? Is it Alamo or is it Holiday? I think it's Alamo.
I think it's Alamo.
Yeah.
I think it's the Alamo Bowl.
I'm sure they'd be thrilled
oh
about that.
Oh, my gosh.
So Utah said...
A two-loss USC team?
That's how about a big this? Drop.
This is a big loss for USC. This is another reason why USC comes to play. USC either is in the college football playoff or they're in the Alamo Bowl.
Oh, man, that's a brutal fall off a cliff. It's bad for Utah, too, though.
Yeah.
It's the ramifications of a win or a loss for both of these teams sits extremely heavy.
Yeah.
More heavy than for USC.
Certainly, yes. I mean, Utah wins there in the Rose Bowl. They lose, they probably go to Alamo or Holiday. So Utah's got a pretty clear cut of what's going to happen. For USC, my goodness, coming in at number four in the college football playoff, but it's tenuous. You got Ohio State there nipping on the heels, being like, hey, you slip up and you don't even, let's say you don't even play well against Utah, they might leapfrog them up. So USC's got to play well, or they've got to win, and they've got to play well in doing it. Be ready, folks. I know there's a lot of people that have bought their tickets. I know Utah's already sold their allotment, and then they've sold even more. And that place is going to be predominantly Utah's color of red in that stadium. But just know this, USC is coming to play. You are going to get USC's best shot. I can't imagine USC comes and does not play well in this game because of what they have to gain and what they have to lose.
Yeah, and they have improved. They're a better team than when Utah played them the middle of the season. I was just looking at some of the wins or some of the losses. I just mentioned that Arizona State loss for Washington was the worst loss. You had UCLA lost to Arizona 34-28. Arizona State loss is still worse.
Right? Yeah, I would say so.
You had Oregon State. They lost to USC, Utah, and Washington. Oregon State had a good season. Those are three somewhat acceptable losses for Oregon State. Then you've got Oregon, who just had probably their most unacceptable loss. I guess it would be against Oregon State. But their losses were Washington and Oregon State. Yeah, I would say that Washington's lost to Arizona State. That's the worst of the ranked Pac-12 teams right now. Again, UCLA at 17, Oregon at 16, Oregon State at 15, Washington at 12, Utah jumping Washington up to number 11. And I think, and then of course USC checking in now for the first time actually slotted into the college football playoffs at number 4. I think that that's what's really holding Washington down right now. But that was an unacceptable loss.
Yeah.
To Arizona State.
Yeah, you can't be losing. You can't be losing.
45-38. And it was back-to-back losses. They lost to UCLA, and then they lost to Arizona State the following week. So pretty tough losses back-to-back. Happy that Utah was able to leapfrog Washington, but that will only stay as long as Utah gets the win over USC. Washington will leapfrog them in the final polls.
Yep.
If they lose to USC in the Pac-12 championship game. Whether that's right or wrong, that's probably
But I think it's
happen.
Fair. Four losses, yeah. No head-to-head. Yeah, I think you kind of have to do it.
Washington's six-game win streak to finish the season, Arizona, Cal, Oregon State, Oregon. Those are two
really big wins.
Really good back-to-back wins. Oregon State, Oregon. Then they finished with Colorado and then a win in the Apple Bowl. The Apple Cup.
Yeah.
against Washington State and beat them pretty soundly. Got going kind of late in the third quarter and finished out really strong in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty, we're just getting started. It's your starting lineup right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We love talking to great partners of the radio station that change people's lives. Dr. Chris Chapman coming in once again with the Lyft Clinic. And, Doctor, it's great to have you in here again.
How are you?
Because you literally are changing people's lives.
We try.
Good to see your smiling better face, yeah. Man.
Good seeing you too, Hans.
How was Thanksgiving?
It was fab. It was really great.
Nice.
Saw family. I hosted, so I did all the cleanup.
All right. All the cooking and all the cleaning.
Breakdown, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing's been broke into since I saw you last, hopefully?
No.
Hallelujah.
No kidding.
I don't know, man. Some of the worst luck I've ever met with somebody just having...
Yeah, downtown Salt Lake. It is.
Let's all come together and stop stealing from people. How does that?
Just totally give that a shot. Let's try that.
Let's try that through the holiday season.
Especially somebody that's done so much good, because there's a lot of people that deal with migraines, that deal with a lot of pain, and you've helped so many people out at the Lyft Clinic. And let's talk about some of the symptoms and some of the issues that people have dealt with that you've been able to help resolve and how you've done that.
Yeah, beautiful. So migraines and headaches are the big ones, especially those, you know, those symptoms that have been around for decades sometimes and just can't seem to find a solution. We help with those quite a bit. Sleep breathing disorders like sleep apnea, obstructive, or even central apnea, which is a little more tricky, but it's a very resolvable condition. And jaw pain and face pain, Bell's palsy, TMJ, those things, anything that kind of comes out of the right where the head sits on the neck.
Brighton's hanging out with us, and Brighton, you're one of those success stories.
I am.
How you doing, Brighton?
Good. How are you?
Good, man.
Tell us a little bit about your story and how the Lyft Clinic has been able to help you.
Yeah. So I originally was trying to look around online for finding ways to basically prevent me from going on a sleep apnea machine, a CPAP. Didn't want to go on one of those, and I came across Dr. Chapman at the Lyft Clinic and inquired and went in and saw what they could do for me. And after, you know, they did their thing, they said, hey, this is something we can help with. And I decided to go with it. And now I don't have to go on a CPAP machine with one of his devices that he has given me for when I sleep at night. It has helped me drastically. I sleep 10 times better. Hmm. I don't have to have a CPAP machine. And not only that, I was dealing with issues of like high blood pressure and would get headaches occasionally, and especially like behind my eyes. And after he tapped me back into place, got me back into alignment with what he does, it has dropped my blood pressure to where it's at better levels as well. And I don't feel the headaches come on and behind my eyeballs. And I used to get a little bit dizzy too. Equilibrium was off, and it's helped with that too. So
was it an injury that you sustained, or was it something specific that got you out of alignment?
I was out of alignment for years.
Probably without knowing.
Yeah, without knowing. I mean, I played sports in high school, so we're talking, I'm 34 now, so I've, you know, 15, 20 years, I've definitely been out of alignment. Could have been when I was playing soccer, basketball, not so much basketball, but football. I played a lot of football, and it could have happened then. I didn't know, but I used to crack my neck all the time to try and relieve the pressure of my just neck that was kinked.
Yeah.
And come to find out, my vertebrae, you know, my C1 and C2 are out of alignment. I didn't know. So, and all the other things that they were causing, you know, that with them being misaligned.
As well as
that,
not knowing the effects.
Not
of
knowing,
that
yeah,
case,
I didn't know what it was. And I just started cracking my neck because it would help relieve that pressure. But I would have headaches behind my eyes, felt a little bit of vertigo, snoring. And yeah, I originally, again, was just trying to find a way to not have to go on a CPAP machine. And went in and saw
Dr. Chapman.
He led me to Dr. Chapman, and then not only did it help with that, with the snoring and sleep apnea, but it's helped with the lower the blood pressure, the headaches behind my eyes that I would get, and the vertigo.
Well, you got to call right now, 801-877-1199. If you're dealing with any of these same issues, call right now. Give the Lyft Clinic a shot. And the great thing is, and I'm going to just go out on a limb here, we didn't talk beforehand. Still the free complimentary assessment?
It is.
With the imaging?
It is. It's the way we roll.
Bam. So you get the free assessment, the imaging. If nothing else, you get to take a look inside your brain a little bit.
Yeah.
With the imaging is cool. We'll talk more about that coming up a little bit later on. But call right now, 801-877-1199. It costs you nothing to get that free assessment from Dr. Chapman at the Lift Clinic. 801-877-1199 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Once again,
championship game.
Kyle Whittingham and the Utes are back in the Pac-12 championship game.
Taps on three. One, two, three. Taps.
Looking for back-to-back Pac-12 titles and another trip to the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long as The Zone gets you ready for a battle in Las Vegas as the Utes square off against USC. Then catch the Ute pregame show this Friday at 5 with the postgame show immediately following the game. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, you got to tweak things a little bit, and one thing they have done since we played them, they were a 10 personnel heavy team with 11 being the second group, and that's flip-flopped. 11 now is their, they've done more to 11 personnel. Those percentages almost did a 180 with each other, and so that means different personnel on the field for us when they're in 11 as opposed to when they're in 10, and they seem to have really settled into that 11 personnel grouping and getting, you know, most of their snaps out of that group.
The Zone is counting you down to the kickoff of the 2022 Pac-12 Championship game between Utah and USC. Pac-12 Championship game coverage on The Zone is presented by UCCU. Love where you bank. Right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Championship game coverage right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hands, the Utes in the championship game for the fourth year in 5 years, or as Kyle Whittingham says, 4-4 because COVID doesn't count, which I agree with, by the way. Just eliminate that year.
I'll take that.
But Utah and USC, interesting quote from Kyle Whittingham. This team has really evolved. I think Utah's really evolved since their first meeting, but he mentioned Utah or USC's really evolved as well. It doesn't seem that long ago that those two teams played, but says they're a different personnel group. They do have different tendencies offensively. A lot of it could be due to the running back injury, but still, this is a USC team that has improved and gotten much better over the last month.
But they still have the same playmakers. I get you get the personnels.
I guess we could say the same playmaker.
Yeah.
I mean, Jordan Addison's tremendous, but let's be honest. It's Caleb Williams' show.
It's Caleb Williams. You take Travis Dye out of the scenario, and I think that that's taken 900 yards of rushing out of that scenario, but Austin Jones has really picked up the production. He's already got himself up to 610 yards, and that's after not getting a lot of reps, an extremely slow start, and only three real games where he's getting on the field and getting the carries. But you're right, Jordan Addison is very good. He's still got 810 yards on the year. He's not amongst some of your top receiving leaders in the country.
Did miss two games, though.
Did miss two games. But you've got a group of guys that are 300-plus yards. You've got Kyle Ford, Brandon Rice, Mario Williams, Taj Washington, and Jordan Addison. All of them at 300-plus. Two of those at 500-plus, and then Jordan Addison leading the pack with 800 yards receiving. We talked about some of their sack situations. Remember, coming into the season, we were talking about coming into that Utah-USC game, we were talking about how USC was leading the country in sacks with Tui Polotu. Tui has racked up 12.5 sacks on the season. He's done fine. But you've got three guys that are at 4-plus, some that are 5 sacks, and USC is still doing a great job with 35 sacks on the season getting to the quarterback. They weren't able to do that against Utah last time they played. Quick release, drop-offs to Kincaid and others. I thought really kept Utah up and running. And then Utah was able to get a run game going that kept them honest too. So a lot of things playing into this Utah-USC game.
John Canzano is going to join us coming up at 105. We'll get his thoughts on this game and what the future holds for the Pac-12. And, you know, I'm kind of interested on, and you and I debated on this a little bit, and I see both sides on this. And I thought you brought up a really good argument on why not commissioners, but athletic directors and school presidents and the other institutions might be cheering against USC in this game.
Yeah.
They're really in kind of a catch-22. I mean, financially, it's a boon for the Pac-12 if they get a team in the college football playoff.
Yeah, because they share that bowl.
But it's dirty money, and it's coming from a team, and it doesn't really enhance the profile of your league because the team that is representing your conference in the college football playoff is gone in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So how much does it really enhance the Pac-12 if USC wins and they say, oh, yeah, we're back. We got a team back in. It's that team. And they're like, yeah, you mean the team that's leaving to go to the Big Ten in a couple of years?
Just enhances the Big Ten.
Yeah, if I'm the Big Ten, I'm like, yeah, guess what we just did? We just poached their champion.
This is promotional material for the Big Ten. Just like Cincinnati coming into the Big 12, getting a college football playoff opportunity, that wasn't promotional material for the AAC. That was promotional material for the Big 12.
Yep. Spot on.
So as much as that conference would have loved to have embraced Cincinnati and said, well, look at what we're doing, that's the Big 12 saying, oh, yeah, well, by the way, Cincinnati will be a part of our conference coming up in 2025.
Yeah.
Or, I guess, no, 2023. Because Cincinnati, Houston,
yeah, you're right.
BYU, and Central Florida all joining next year. And Cincinnati went and got themselves a college football playoff bid. That didn't help their current conference.
No,
that,
it didn't help the AAC.
That helps the Big 12.
And if,
just like, this isn't going to help the Pac-12.
No.
It's going to help the Big Ten.
So while you've got programs that are going to reap the financial benefit from this, in the long game, it doesn't really help you at all. Short term, nice, yeah. Get a little extra coin, boost the budget a little bit. Long term, doesn't really help you out much. Also, it doesn't really matter that much, honestly, because when the college football playoff expands, the Pac-12 will probably have a team in it. When it goes to 12, the Pac-12 will probably have a team in it on a yearly basis. But still, it just kind of has a little dirty vibe to it. I mean, USC won it. That's great. Pac-12 can, but I don't think the Pac-12 can really put, you know, they can't really puff out their chest on this thing. They really can't. There's nothing you can't go out and publicize this. You can't be like, look, conference of champions, am I right? Well, yeah, your champions gave you the middle finger and said, new phone, who's this? And
in the middle
is bolting and leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just don't think there's a lot that you can really be too overly thrilled about if you're the Pac-12. Now, again, as we talk to Scott Wolf, who might be a little biased in this because he covers USC, says, oh, no, of course they'll be cheering for USC. They get more money. Money's going to move the whole thing. And, you know, if you're Cal, you're probably like, yeah, go at USC because we're strapped for cash and we need every little penny we can find. But honestly, long term, this does nothing for the Pac-12. Not a darn thing. Which is unfortunate. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. But if you're Utah, you get a chance for back-to-back Rose Bowl bids in a team. And I thought Jake and Ben brought up a really good point. This, since losing to Florida and probably after the UCLA loss, this team has just been like, okay, well, I mean, I don't know. I know that Utah fans are certainly over the moon with what they've had, but it certainly doesn't have that same kind of feel as last year this time, right? Do you have that same kind of sense that this team is special? It could even be more special than last year. They could go to Rose Bowl and they could win a Rose Bowl, but it doesn't have that same kind of like, oh my gosh, we're just a phenomenal team. If this team wins a Rose Bowl, I think it'll be kind of funny because last year's team's way better than this year's team.
It felt that way.
But yet this team can accomplish more than last year's team, but it just doesn't have that same kind of I don't know, gravitas that last year's team had.
Well, last year had what felt like a first-round draft pick on it with Devin Lloyd. Last year had the miraculous play of Britton Covey. Last year felt like it had more substance. This year feels like it has more letdown. But I'm going to throw a caveat on. It also feels like it's a roundabout huge success story if they finish it out the right way.
Yeah.
Because I felt like Kyle Whittingham came back for two things. Get another Pac-12 championship and get a Rose Bowl victory.
Yes.
I feel like he's back with a couple of reasons. Kyle Whittingham's got enough money. He's got enough notoriety. He's got everything. He's done everything he needs to do. He could hand this team over to a coaching staff that he developed that will continue with his legacy in mind. Eventually, his name will get put on the stadium or at least put on the field or will be remembered as the greatest brand to be a part of that University of Utah football program. He's done it all. So the reason he's coming back was to repeat as a Pac-12 champion and go get a Rose Bowl victory.
Correct.
There was a part of me that felt like, in Kyle's mind, he didn't just go to the Rose Bowl against Ohio State to get to the Rose Bowl. In Kyle's mind, he went to the Rose Bowl to win, to beat Ohio State and have a Rose Bowl championship. I feel like he's back for the same reason. He wants a Pac-12 championship, but he wants a Rose Bowl victory. He wants that attached to his legacy. It's the highest peak of Pac-12 play outside of the college football playoffs, which I'm sure that he would have loved to had that had it in mind, but it was probably gone the minute they lost to Florida.
Yeah.
The second that interception was thrown on the 2-yard line into the end zone, when all you needed was a field goal to tie things up.
When you talk about this, this is why we probably should never have a camera in here, because you get so angry thinking about that interception.
It enrages me, man.
I know.
And
it was 3 months ago, and you're as angry now as you were then.
It just took so much away from the season.
Yeah.
It really took. There's a lot to be excited about, but you're talking about it. Jake and Ben were talking about it. That Florida loss is what has done a lot of this.
Yes.
It damaged a lot of it. But you can repair a lot of the damage. Beating USC for a second time, getting to the Rose Bowl, taking on Ohio State and redeeming with a victory, it changes everything.
Yeah.
It turns this season into as successful a season as last year, probably more successful.
If you beat Ohio State in a Rose Bowl,
it becomes a more successful.
It becomes a far more successful season for Utah, and you forget all about that interception in Gainesville.
How long was Ohio State ranked number one in the college football playoff rankings?
Good chunk of the year.
Until Michigan got them.
Yep.
They had taken over maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. It grabbed it from Georgia, didn't they?
Correct. Yep.
So you find yourself in the Rose Bowl against Ohio State, find a way to match some of the things that Michigan did with physicality. Come on, guys. This is a record. It will be a record season for Utah, regardless of the three losses.
Yep.
You lose to USC, go play the Alamo Bowl, and it's just one of those seasons that you pack in the backpack and maybe take out and show to your kids a little bit later.
Well, if I'm Kyle Whittingham, I win a Rose Bowl this year, I get on my horse, I see that sunset, and I ride into it.
Sure.
Because you can't top this.
Nope.
College football playoff, I guess, I mean, you can't top it. And I'm not dismissing a college football playoff, because I think Utah is very, very capable of putting together an undefeated season.
Oh, yeah.
Going to the college football playoff.
If Cam Rising returned and Yasmin and Keithy decided, hey, we're going to come back, and you throw a handful, you've got a great offensive line.
Yeah.
You've now got a better developed linebacking core. You'd hope that Lander Barton takes that next step that Devin Lloyd took, even though Devin Lloyd was another year advanced from where Lander will be next year. And all of a sudden, you've got yourself a pretty unique core. Get yourself a slightly better one-on-one pass rushing off the outside. I say that because I know what the scheme is, and I know what it's going to be against Caleb Williams. And You just don't expect a lot of flash and pizzazz from the Utah defensive line against USC.
Yeah.
They just are looking to do their job. They've got a huge job to do, and that job, secondary, maybe even thirdly down the line, is one-on-one pass rush, pin back the ears and get to the quarterback. That's down the line a ways.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of responsibilities.
1246, Hans and Scotty, complete Pac-12 championship coverage brought to you by our good friends at UCCU. Love where you bank, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined right now by youth safety, RJ Hubert.
Kyle Whittingham, unprompted, said, yeah, we didn't backdoor it, and pretty much everybody's picking SC. How do you respond, if at all, to all this stuff about SC this, SC that?
Honestly, it is what it is. They'll say what they want to say. It's all just slabber to me. I understand why they're upset. They lost a really close game, and of course they have an opportunity to avenge that here. We're definitely not looking past them by any measure. They're still very talented. They're still a very good team. So yeah, I don't really pay attention too much to any of the talking, and I know there's a lot of it and a lot of people count us out, but it is what it is. We don't mind it.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10, presented by Murdoch Chevrolet, proudly serving Utah since 1926, on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah.
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
What'd I do?
No, I just saw that text from our good buddy, Don Sterling.
Oh, I love the guy.
I owe Don in phone call. I have not talked to him in a while.
Yeah, we need to chat with him. In fact, we need to get Don on air with us to do the Don stories.
Because I feel horrible because, you know, I'm the worst person in Hold on. Let me look at you while I say this because I don't want to look at Lloyd. You may not know this, but I'm not good at responding to phone calls and texts sometimes.
I love how yesterday I had my self-acceptance and now you're accepting these things. Yes.
And there are some times where I'll like reach out or somebody will reach out and I'm like, oh, I need to get back to them. And then all of a sudden a week passes. I'm like, oh no, I didn't.
Now it's too late.
And now it's too late. Cause then I feel horrible. And then you could be like, whoa, hey, I missed this text. I'm really sorry. But
You know it, that person passes away and then you can't even give them a call.
Well, geez, man.
Jeez.
Let's hope that's not the case.
We just know that we could pass away at any time, so return our calls.
Hey, I will tell you guys.
I wasn't talking about you, Lloyd. I return your calls all the time.
Okay.
This morning, I missed a call. I called right back.
And is there an illness you need to talk to us about?
Yeah,
no. Right. I'm just saying it could happen. You never know.
So
be thankful for the moment you have.
I will tell you guys a story about one of my neighbors right next to me, actually a couple houses down. So he was redoing his landscaping. Ripped up his entire yard and was redoing his landscaping. His neighbor across the yard, which was good family friends, her only request, she'd been diagnosed with cancer, and she wanted to see his yard finished before she was gone. He didn't do it.
What?
He didn't get his yard done, and she passed away. And now he hangs on this regret that his neighbor passed away, and her last request was that she wanted to see his yard done, and she didn't get to see it. So Lloyd's got a point. Call Don.
Yeah, call Don.
Don. I'll call you after the show, man. Jeez.
Call Don. Hey, speaking of calling, I called you yesterday because I was getting ready for this BYU-Westminster game that was played at Vivint Arena. I was excited settling in with my popcorn and soda because I love a little bit of college basketball. And I thought, oh, maybe we'll have an in-state competitive game. Yeah, it wasn't competitive. It was
It's
horrible.
And look, no disrespect to Westminster, but they're Division II.
Yeah. It's always tough because you'd like to see Westminster be competitive, but Mark Pope's guys picked up his 150th win as the BYU head coach. So great stuff there. They also set a three-point record for the university, making 19 of 37 threes. And hitting a mark that had never been hit before, not even with the great Jimmer Fredette. And as Jonathan Tavernari tweeted yesterday, Jimmer is number one in three makes. I think Tavernari said he's number two. And even those two combined on the court, maxed out at 16, I think he said.
I don't think those percentages were very similar between the Jimmer and JT.
That's not important. That is not important.
Love you, JT.
We all do.
Jumping Jimmer Fredette.
We all do. That also leaves Coach Pope undefeated at Vivint Smart Home Arena. He is 4-0 when they play there. And they do have, I think, one more game there. In fact,
they're playing my buddy, Petey.
North Dakota?
Eric Peterson's coming to town. No, it's South Dakota.
South Dakota.
And it bums me out, too, because I would love to go to that game. Because, obviously, to cover BYU, and Eric Peterson is a good friend. But I will be...
How do you know Eric?
Because he was on Craig Smith's staff.
Oh, yes.
At South Dakota.
That's right.
At Utah State, and then at Utah. And
did he take the head job?
Yeah, he's the head coach now.
Oh, good for him.
There. Well, I'm sure he called you when he was in town, but he probably didn't answer.
Oh, he was admitting that he has to fix things, Lloyd. Oh. Don't pile on. This is what you did to me yesterday.
Oh, sorry.
When I was talking about the issues that I've got.
And you wonder why I don't want to return your phone calls.
Oh, don't you even do that. Don't blame it on me.
You know what we talked
don't
about?
You, do
you know
that.
What we talked about crutches the other day with Lloyd?
Yeah.
There's the have a blessed day. There's a hey bud.
Yeah.
And then there's the other time where he feels being ignored and you were calling. He's like, this is Lloyd.
I hate that. Yeah, he answers most of the time that way to me.
This is Lloyd. Like, Lloyd, you know who it is.
You know who it is.
Go for Lloyd.
I know who it is. And you know what bugs me? Yesterday, I was admitting to some things about how I take things too personal.
Yeah.
And both of you jumped on that boat, grabbed an oar, and started paddling.
Actually, mostly him, but I...
Don't you put mostly me.
No, it was mostly not you.
Okay.
It would have been nice for you guys to be like, yes, we've noticed that in the past, but... We felt like you are starting to get better at that.
Oh, one. By the way, that's 1,000%. Like at first, 8 years, you've been way better.
All right. Well,
that's the other thing, too, that me and Lloyd sometimes take things personally, mostly Lloyd.
Yes, it is true. It's something I'm working on.
Since Scotty admitted that he doesn't return texts and calls, and I admitted that I take things too personal, how about you admit to something, Lloyd?
Okay, maybe sometimes.
How about you manufacture
very
drops?
Rarely, but it does happen. Sometimes I take things too far. Maybe.
Did you say sometimes?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Very rarely.
This is a very good.
Sometimes.
Oh, for instance, when you took a picture of me that looked like I was smelling my fingers and used it as your Twitter avi.
That does not count. That one doesn't count. I've always used you as my avi.
Replacing the picture of me sitting on your dog as it's taking a poop.
By the way, this is all true.
Yeah. Oh, that
and
was
you
the
want
best.
Me to apologize? Scotty,
that one's not taking it too far.
Get in the middle of this.
No, it's true.
No,
you've
not
gone
the
too
Abby
far.
One. The Abby one's
no,
not.
Commodus, no, the Abby you've gone
you
too far.
There
are sometimes drops that I maybe go too far with.
You went too far.
Like
you made
the one
fun
where I
of the shirt
you.
I was wearing.
No,
and
no, I wasn't. The one where I recorded you in the, like, we were recording something, you made some weird noise, that one might have been going too far.
Yeah, when you had the itch.
Oh, the itch was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Well, no, that one.
God gave me a pretty good voice. That was an off-the-air, you know, unintended recording.
One in Rome. I'm sorry.
Same with taking the boys to China.
That one is pretty funny. I mean, yeah, Lloyd, that's not okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That was our first year, I think.
That was. All right, Dr. Chapman's with us from the Lyft Clinic. And look, there's a lot of things that can cause you headaches. One of them is coworkers. But there's a lot of times you're not getting the air you need. You're not getting the sleep you need. And it's causing you all kinds of problems. And that's an area you can fix. Coworkers, probably not much.
No.
But
I think
a lot
I
of
could,
other things
I think
you
I could do a little good for Lloyd, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, does it help with uncontrollable anger and spite?
No, he's got other areas he's going to help me. He's got other areas.
No, yes. So definitely the headaches, but not directly from coworkers and colleagues. But, you know, as Brighton was saying earlier, he mentioned these headaches behind his eye that were associated with the sleep apnea. And I just wanted quick 2 cents on that.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, folks, when they're sleeping at night, one of the things the body does to keep that airway open is it starts to clench and grind the teeth. And a lot of people do it. Most people don't know they do it unless they're told by their dentist that they do it, you know, with wear and tear, and then they're given a bite guard per se. But there's a reason for that. And that's one of the things that we can decipher on our imaging that we do in our clinic. We can actually identify that and sort of correlate that to like the headaches and the head and face and jaw pain and associate that with some sleep breathing disorders.
The other element to this too is that there's the procedure to get you, you know, get your head on straight, as we joke about.
Yes.
Which is so vital is a lot of people think that you're, you know, got your knee in somebody's back and you're twisting and all that stuff. This is a really, really scientific approach to getting people realigned.
Yes. It's we call it the TAP. It's a transdermal atlas positioning, but it is just a little wave that just simply targets and vectors that little upper area and repositions it, and it's instant. Mm-hmm. And there's no knives or knees, so to speak.
Right. And when you had this done, could you tell pretty quickly that something had changed?
Oh, yes. In fact, my head got a little hot. Yeah, you could just feel
blood flow.
I have more blood flow. Yeah,
Like that, huh?
Correct.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, now's the time to take advantage of it. All you have to do is make a simple phone call and get yourself squared away. This is really, really important to get you back with a quality of life that you deserve. Call 801-877-1199. Schedule that free complimentary assessment. You can also check them out online at theliftclinic.com. But again, 801-877-1199. The assessment, the imaging, and I want to talk about the imaging more coming up in our next hit, Doctor, because of what some of the great things you guys can do. It's all available for you at the Lift Clinic right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.